All right. So in Psalm 92, what we're going to start is there in verse 1. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night." Now turn to Isaiah chapter number 63. So right here in the Bible, this is a psalm, and right there in the very beginning of it, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name." So the Bible talks about a lot of good things that we should do. Right here in this psalm, the Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And that's what I'm going to be preaching about, is giving thanks and being thankful. I'm going to talk about being thankful. I'm going to talk about being unthankful. I'm going to talk about some things that we should be thankful for. And I'm also going to talk about and preach and teach what the Bible says, how we should show forth our thanks, not only to God, but to other people around us, and how to be a thankful people. Now, it says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So the Bible says we're supposed to give thanks in everything. It says it's the will of God. A lot of people go around wondering, what is the will of God for my life? The Bible says that the will of God is to be a thankful person and to give thanks in everything that you do. Now, if you're in Isaiah chapter number 63, my first point is it's a sin to not be thankful. It's a sin to be unthankful. Now, the Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So you've been shown here in the Bible, if you haven't already read it yourself, that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The Bible says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So the Bible right there is saying, look, if you know that something is right, you know that something is good, and you don't do it, the Bible says that that's a sin. Now, that's not the only place where the Bible says it's a sin to be ungrateful or unthankful, and I'm going to talk about that right now. Now, in Isaiah chapter number 63, in verse 7, it says, "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy and fought against them." So the Bible right there is saying, and you know, the prophet Isaiah is showing and talking about the children of Israel here pretty much towards the end, where he's, you know, saying how good God's been to them. He uses the word loving kindness twice. He talks about the great goodness that God has bestowed upon the house of Israel. Now you got to think about this. All the way from when God rescued them out of Egypt, starting then, all the way till after this, they were a rebellious, they were an ungrateful, murmuring people right from square one. This was hundreds of years that had gone by since they came out of Egypt. And God is so long-suffering, God is so gracious, that I believe almost at this point, if they would have turned back to God, he would have spared them, but they didn't. And the Bible says in verse 18, or in verse number 10, "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy." The Bible here is showing that God was extremely good to Israel and mercy and merciful and loving, but they didn't even care what good things that God had done for them. The Bible talks a lot about in the Old Testament how they were forgetful, and they forgot how God delivered them with his mighty hand, and they forgot how God provided for them with the manna, and how God provided so many different things for them. And the start of them being rebellious, the start of them was being forgetful and being ungrateful and unthankful to God. Now, God did, the Bible says, it vexed his Holy Spirit. The Bible says that, and grieve not the Holy Spirit which of God, which ye are sealed, you know, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's not just a force that we have. It's something that God has indwelled us with. God knows our thoughts. God knows our heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. If we go around and we're an ungrateful, unthankful people, the Bible says this as a nation, they were people that it just vexed God's spirit. Now, if you think about that word vex, like what does that mean? Can you imagine if something or you saw something where you said, you know what, that really just vexes my spirit. That makes me feel like it just makes me just feel disgusted. It makes me feel terrible. And that's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says at the end there that he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. So not only was God for them and he saved them physically, but the Bible says after that point, he actually became their enemy and he turned from even trying to help them. This caused God to become angry and be the enemy of Israel, and he turned against them and he pretty much scattered them abroad and he punished them on a historical magnitude. The Bible shows us that God is a God of blessing. The Bible says he even blesses the unsaved. But as children of God, we're not just as New Testament, as believers in general, we're not just blessed in a regular, everyday, carnal way. The Bible says that we're blessed in a much spiritual way. Now go to Luke chapter number 6. In that passage, the Bible is showing that the Lord was a saving God that saved Israel physically and that they were ungrateful and they were unthankful. Now, the Bible talks about unthankfulness in a very negative light. It actually associates ungratefulness and unthankfulness with wickedness and evil. Now in Luke 6 verse 35, Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So you can see right there, God is associating unthankful with evil. Now go over in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now in Romans 1 we have the characteristics of the reprobate, the characteristics of somebody that is just completely one of the most wicked people on earth. And it says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." You got to think about that. Why did God throw that in there about us, about somebody not being thankful to God? Because the Bible says that God, you know, the blessings and the rain falleth on the just and the unjust alike. The people in this world that are not saved, they receive blessings from God, but they're not thankful for it. You think about Herod. You know, the Bible says that God slew Herod because he gave not God the glory. I don't think Herod was a saved man. I believe that there comes a point when the God does something to somebody and he blesses them or he does something for them, and whether they're saved or unsaved, there comes a point when God's had enough of somebody not being thankful, being ungrateful, and he's even killed people for it. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." So there again, the Bible is associating unthankfulness with evil, with unholiness. Now keep reading. It says, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of from such turn away." Now you think about that whole list full of sins. Those are some pretty serious sins. Can you imagine if you found out that somebody was saying, "Hey, you know that guy over there, that guy's a blasphemer. That guy's disobedient to his parents. That child's a disobedient child." The Bible says in the Old Testament that a rebellious and a stubborn son should be stoned to death. That's pretty serious. It says, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers." But in that whole list, right smack dab in the middle, it talks about people being unthankful. Now, the opposite of being unthankful, the Bible says, is being content. Now, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, go to Psalms number 6, chapter number 68. So, first of all, the Bible says that unthankfulness and ungratefulness is a sin. And the Bible associates unthankful people and ungrateful people with unholy people and with evil people and with wicked people. It even has it as an attribute of a reprobate person, of the sodomites, of the queers. It says that they're unthankful. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So right there you can see that. Just starting off, the Bible is not very, it's extremely negative as far as people being unthankful. Now, Being unthankful goes hand in hand with being covetous. Now I've heard this, the opposite or the enemy of being content is comparison. You know, so it's when you start comparing what you have with what other people have, you start to become less thankful for the things that you got, and you start to covet what other people have, and you start to want what they have. Now the Bible says that we need to just, as a people, be a thankful people. Now, being content means being happy with the things that you got. Now, if you think about it, we all have things that we should be happy for. Now, number two is there are things that we need to be thankful for. Now, we should be thankful, and in that first verse, it's talking about it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And in the whole chapter, pretty much, it talks about how God is going to deliver his people, and it just talks about being praising the Lord. It talks about praising him with different instruments and stuff like that. Now, in Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." So number one, if we're going to be thankful to God, the first thing that we should be thankful for, that we should never become unthankful for, is the salvation that he's given us, for saving us in the first place. Now the Bible says, He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. The Bible says that the God that we serve is the God of salvation. The Bible says in the New Testament, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other God in the universe that can save anybody. So, you know, we are people that God has saved from punishment in hell. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 16, you don't have to go there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. It says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Think about everything that Jesus Christ went through to bring salvation. Yesterday we were talking, Brother Jimmy and I were out soul winning, and we talked with this lady, and we were preaching her the gospel, and it was like one of the last people that we talked to. She was probably like 40 or 50 years old, I have not an idea. Her name is Rosa. And she, you know, we took her through the whole gospel. At the very middle of it, she was just, you know, she asked us, she's looking at the track, and she's like, "Well, what's the difference between a Baptist church and the Christian church?" And I said, "Well, you know," I told her, I said, all Christians aren't Baptists and all Baptists aren't Christians. We're both. We're Baptists and we're Christians." And she said, "Well, what's the difference?" I said, "Well, we just believe the Bible. We don't have any like governing authority." I said, "Well, how come?" She said, "How come this is so different than everything that I've ever been taught?" I said, "What do you think about it?" She said, "I think it's wonderful." Amen. I said, it's absolutely wonderful. It's amazing. She said, she goes to church all the time. She tries to read her Bible. Her husband completely wants nothing to do with God. So she's striving and trying as hard as she can to just do right so that way she can be good enough to go to heaven. And then I come and I show her how Jesus Christ paid it all. He died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And she thought that was absolutely amazing. She was very glad to get saved. She could have, after it was over, she was all smiles. Now, I hope that in a couple years from now, when she looks back on that moment, I hope she's just as happy about it then. Now, I think pretty much everybody in here, I've told almost everybody my testimony of salvation. I think it's pretty awesome to me that I'm actually a product of door-to-door soul winning. But however you got saved, whether you got saved as a child, whether you got saved in church, or whether you got saved by my friend giving you the gospel, it's an amazing thing that you were presented with the gospel and you got a clear presentation of a gospel where you had the ability to get saved. Now, when church people came to my house, I never used to answer the door. I used to just, you know, I'd hide. I was telling Brother Jimmy, one time these Mormons came to my house, and I saw them coming from way down the street, and I hid and I closed all the windows, you know, the shutters, so they couldn't see in. And they knocked on my door for 20 minutes. They were there for so long, I couldn't believe it. And I'm just being so quiet and started thinking, maybe they saw me. You know what I mean? So I was being real quiet. And then even after they left, I was making sure like not to like open the door or touch the window or anything like that, because I was afraid they were going to like jump out of the bushes. You know what I mean? But so I was not a person that used to even talk to people that came to my door. And, you know, I don't know if it was just, you know, the Holy Spirit was, you know, I'm sure that the pastor that came to my house, I'm sure he prayed before he went out that God would guide him to people and that God would bless his efforts. And so maybe, you know, obviously I was on the receiving end of that blessing. You know, I was somebody, I opened my door, I gave them the perfect opportunity to come in. He actually came to my house and he preached me the gospel. And I readily received Jesus Christ. It was a great thing for me. And he even explained to me how this is your second birthday. You're born again. I remember I wrote it on my fridge with a permanent marker. And it was a rental house. So somewhere at that house, there's probably still a refrigerator that says March 27th, 2002. And I remember seeing it every time I went to the refrigerator. But it's a good thing. The Bible says that God is a good God. He saves us from a punishment in hell that I'm gonna talk about here in a little bit. Now, it says that we should be thankful for a spiritual salvation, but you know what? We should be thankful to God for a physical salvation. It says right here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So the Bible says that God is not only going to save us, and then he just doesn't cut the strings and let us go. And we all have our personal choices, whether we're going to do right or wrong. But the Bible says that God will always give us a way to escape the sinful temptations in our life. When we come across something where, you know, we're placed in a position where we have an option to do right or to do wrong, God always makes sure that there's an option to do right. He always makes us with the temptation, we'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So I think that's a good thing. You know, you think about a lot of people, maybe, I don't know people in this church, but I'm sure that there are. It's a pretty, especially on Sunday mornings, there's a pretty good group. Maybe people have, you know, struggles with addictions. They drink, or they do drugs. Are they, you know, recovering addicts? Are they recovering, you know, drug addicts? Or whatever the case may be, whatever kind of stronghold that they have in their life, the Bible says that God is faithful and he can help us get whatever sin we want to out of our life. Now, I know a lot of people, I know preachers that used to drink heavily, that used to do drugs and party, and they didn't, you know, they got past all that. I know people that were a mess, that they, you know, God helped them to get their life completely straightened out. It takes work. But the Bible says, if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The Bible says if you're looking for salvation from a sin in your life, God is the God of salvation. He says he's faithful. He will do it. Now, go in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 8. So we should be thankful for salvation. We should be thankful that God saves us. We should be thankful that Jesus Christ went through everything that we went through. There's been a few times that I've been talking to people and preaching the gospel, and I always, if you've been out with me, I always explain how Jesus Christ went to hell and he burned and tortured. I always ask them, what do you think hell looks like? And the first thing, you know, fire, you know, brimstone, you know, fire. A lot of people tell you the devil and devils. And I explain to them that they're right about the fire. I explain to them and show them in Revelation 14 how it's fire and it's everlasting punishment. And it goes on and on forever and they have no rest or night. And I'm explaining how terrible it is. And I explain to them that's where Jesus Christ went. We deserve to go there because we've sinned. He did not deserve to go there. He went there in our place. Every sin that you've ever done, even the deep dark things you hope nobody ever finds out about, he knows what they are. And even knowing that, he went there and paid for all of your sins. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Yep. Now, the Bible says that God, we should be thankful to God that he answers our prayers. Now, you're in Mark chapter number 8. The Bible says in 1 John 5, "And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Now, in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14 is the verse I was looking for. Hold on one second here. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So the Bible says that this is the confidence that we have in him. So God, the God that we serve is a God that we can have confidence in. Now, you think, what gives you confidence in other people? I started thinking, like, how come I feel so confident and have so much faith in other people in certain areas? It's because of their history. It's because of their past. It's because they've always done what they said. There are some people that if they tell you they're going to do something, it's like you never do what you say you're going to do. And then there's some people that, I mean, as much as they can, if they tell you that they're going to do something, you can rest assured that they're going to do it. They're going to be there. They're faithful people. And you can have confidence in people like that. But the Bible says right there that we can have confidence in God that he can answer our prayer. Now, and that's shown by things in our past, by prayers that he's answered before, and by things that he's done in the Bible. And big big prayers that he's answered before. That's why we can go to God and have confidence. Now, in Mark chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus Christ is talking right here. It says, and he charged them, saying, talking to his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have your heart been yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? So he said right here, he's getting mad. Like, he goes and tells them to beware of the leaven. And sometimes I think of the disciples as like, sometimes they have these like bonehead moments where they're like the Three Stooges. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he's like, oh man, we don't have any bread. You know what I mean? Don't eat what they're going to give us. You know what I mean? Because they're going to kill us with it. But he's saying right there, don't you remember? He said in verse 19, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto him, how is it that ye do not understand? Jesus was taken back how they would ever even fathom that they would think they'd run out of food. I mean, they were there when he fed 5,000 people and 4,000 plus people with very little. And then they say to him that he can perceive their thoughts that they're out of food. And he's just kind of blown away by it. Like, it's almost like all this work that you've done just completely goes out the window. One time, one of my kids, I was disciplining them. They're in the bathroom and I was spanking them. And I was getting, you know, they're like two or three. And I'm just getting real deep with them, telling them that God is not pleased. And God's not happy. And all this stuff, and I'm just getting, they're crying, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they're just like, oh, look, shampoo. You know, I'm just like, you know, you think like, what in the world? It's like, you expect them to like, flip your ear or something like that, you know? Hosanna looks up and just goes, tickle, 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 tickle. I'm just like, what in the world? You think like, everything just went completely over their head? And that's how I feel Jesus, like, when they said that, he was just like, good night, I've been with you guys for this long, and this is, you know, you're worried about having bread? I think sometimes we go to God and we pray and we don't really have the faith and we really don't think that God is going to answer our prayers. And God's showing us and he's saying, look, if you have any kind of prayer life where you've prayed consistently and there are things that you've prayed very hard for and God has answered those prayers, that gives you confidence to go to God later on in life and say, you know what, I remember when my child was sick and we thought my child was going to die. And I remember how God, as a miracle, the doctor said, you know, it's as good as it could ever be. It's as good with her as it is with any other child. I think that's awesome. God answered our prayer. God heard our prayers. Now, that gives me confidence to go to God, not just for the big things, for all the little things too, and believe that God is going to answer those prayers. You know, these disciples should have believed and had confidence that Jesus Christ was going to feed them. And what made him astonished is that they didn't think that. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew about the same story, he tells them, oh, ye of little faith. He said, what's wrong with you guys? How come you guys can't believe? He even says, what, has your heart been hardened? You know, what's wrong with you? So we should be somebody that can believe and have confidence in God and be thankful to God when he does answer our prayers. And we should pray things that we really need and not just pray for him one time, but pray for him every day. And when those prayers get answered, don't just think, oh, good, God answered my prayers. I believe this. When I give my kids something, if they're very thankful for it, you know, it makes me want to give them more things. If I give them something and they're just, we have this saying in our house, you know, we used to say, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. You know, but now we say, you get what you get and you be thankful for it. You know, they get served, you know, a couple weeks ago, they got served oatmeal like five times in a row for breakfast or something. I don't know what it was. This is what I heard. They just got served oatmeal again, right? And they're kind of, well, you get what you get and you be thankful for it. And so the Bible lesson for the morning was you eat what's put in front of you. And Silas at dinner the other day, he said, eat or be beat. He said it. I'm not even kidding. Just out of nowhere, he said, eat or be beat. And he's eating. You know, and I know he got that from Pastor Anderson. I think that's awesome, you know. So. So, go to Proverbs chapter 5. So we should be thankful for our spiritual salvation, that God saved us, that he saved us from our sins, from the penalty of hell. Thankful that God can save us from a wicked lifestyle. You know, save us from being somebody that's, you know, a gang member or a drug dealer or even just a worldly, wicked person.
Yep.
You know, thank God. Praise the Lord, huh?
Amen.
It says in Lamentations chapter 3, you're going to Proverbs chapter 5. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Man, that's awesome to think that God is somebody that, he said, when I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. You know, and you start sitting down, and you think about what God's done. You think about the song, you know, Count Your Blessings. It makes you maybe not, you know, in a better mood. You know, you think about this. You can be thankful for your spouse. You can be thankful for your husband or for your wife. The Bible says, you're in Proverbs 5, it says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. The Bible says that we should rejoice with our wife. We should be happy and glad, and we should, our lives, especially as a married couple, you should be happy that you even have a husband, and that yet you have a wife. And I don't mean to say that like that you even have one like that, you know, because look at you. You know what I mean? You know, you're lucky that whole election thing, the Calvinists are wrong because he wouldn't have picked you. Because look at you. You know, I'm saying like he's a good God. You know, if you have a wife, the Bible says he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And I think that if you have a wife or you have a husband, you should find it in yourself every single day to sit there and praise God and thank God and be happy with the wife that you have, not because that's who you're stuck with, but because the wife that you have is somebody that God is going to do things in your guys' life so that way you guys can become closer together if you guys want. If you guys try in your marriage, God's gonna see that and God's gonna put you guys closer together. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 3. So we can be thankful for salvation. We can be thankful for our wives. We should be thankful that God answers our prayers. I mean, it's amazing things sometimes. You know, I'll be on a roof and we'll get out there right after the sun kind of comes up sometimes. And we're kind of waiting to start hammering because nobody likes people hammering on in their neighborhood at like 5 a.m. So we're up there and we're being as quiet and we're just kind of watching and we're just waiting for that time to start going. And it's real quiet and you just think like, I'm just so small. This whole world's just so big. And I think it's just amazing that God hears our prayers. And that's something that I think is awesome. We should be thankful about our children. The Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gates. Now, I was thinking about this one time, and when we first started having like our third and fourth, and even our fifth, we were, you know, a little bit hesitant about calling our parents because we knew they're going to be disappointed. We knew they were going to call them and they're going to be like, again, you know, how are you going to do it? You guys are idiots and you guys don't know what you're doing. But the Bible says that they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gates. Having a lot of children is not only something that you should be happy about. The Bible says that it's not something that you should be ashamed of. When we go out in public, our kids are like little ornaments. We love our children. I think it's an awesome thing when we're out and we see a big old family and we see them. I think that's a good thing. We were at a store. We had to stop by a store coming back from up north. And this one of the ladies at the store was just told us, she said, look at all your little kids. I love a big family. She said, they're like pretty little flowers. And she was Hispanic. She couldn't speak very good English. And she was trying to kind of convey the thoughts. And she was talking about how pretty, like pretty little flowers. And I can't remember what else she was trying to say because I couldn't understand. But I was thinking, that's pretty awesome. You know, that you hardly ever get people that say stuff like that. Yeah. You know, I'm sick of the whole, you know, what causes that? And, you know, do you know what, you know, do you need a TV? And all that other stuff. And if you have more than a few kids, you know that's exactly what people will tell you. And you know what? It makes me mad. But you know what it doesn't make me? It doesn't make me ashamed of the children that I have. It doesn't make me ashamed that I want to have more. Well, you know, we'll see how many God gives us. No, I'm going to have as many as God will bless me with.
Amen.
You know, that's what the Bible says. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should be thankful for your church, and we should be thankful for your friends at church. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Now, I talk about this a lot, and I've noticed I was kind of going back over, and I made a little YouTube channel, and I just kind of put my sermons on there. And I listened to a few of them. I don't like the way I talk. I don't like the sound of my voice. I don't like how I talk. You know, like when you hear yourself, you're like, do I really sound like that? You know, you think you sound so much cooler and grown up, but you really don't, you know? And so I was listening, I noticed like the same theme in some of my sermons, but you know what? It's if there's major themes of the New Testament, it's a theme of brotherly love. It's a theme of the church being unified. It's a theme of God's people being for one another and being united in the cause of Christ. It says in Colossians chapter number 3, it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. And so as I'm reading through my Bible after that, I noticed it's in every single book of the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation. It's talking about God's people and God's people being together. Now, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making all requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, some people think that being friendly, or some people that are unfriendly or maybe unsociable, because they think that being nice to people is like a burden. And maybe it is kind of a burden. You know, I went out and I visited Brother Logan. I don't know if you know Brother Logan. He sits back here. He's got a little kid and a wife. And he had a terrible motorcycle accident last Monday. And he just shattered his entire leg. I mean, and he looks like he got hit in the face with a baseball bat. I mean, his eyes are black. They got like, they're not like bloodshot. I mean, like blood vessels busted. He's in bad, bad shape. He's going to be hurting for a while. And he was just telling me how, Pastor, some people came by to visit him. And he was just saying how overjoyed. And he even said, one thing I'm going to do now that I realize that how much of a blessing it is, I'm going to find out and make sure that everybody that I know, if they're in the hospital, I'm going to go visit them. Because he said, it's just so encouraging, because you're sitting in here, you can't do anything, and then people come and they visit you. Amen. And I got a funny story too. He said this, I'll tell you real quick if you haven't heard. He went to surgery for a second surgery, and he's coming out, and they told him, when you wake up, your whole family's going to be there. We're going to tell your family when you're coming out of surgery. I don't know how many hours the surgery was, but he was, you know, supposed to be greeted by his family, and they told him, when you wake up, you're going to be all delirious because of all the drugs. You're being knocked out, you know. And so when he wakes up, he looks around, and he's all disoriented. He said the colors aren't right, like this, nothing is right. And he can see somebody, and he can hear somebody talking. And he's looking around, there's nobody else in the room. He just sees this one person, but he can't really see him, and he's just trying to like gain his bearings. And this overwhelming feeling of like he's waking up in like post-apocalyptic like age, and he thinks he's in the tribulation, and he starts to freak out like, oh no, you know, like I've slept for 20 years and the apocalypse has happened. And so he freaks out and he looks over, and his Pastor Anderson is sitting next to him. And he said at first he was just like, uh-oh, you know what I mean? And Pastor was like, are you all right, you know? And he said he kind of gained his bearings a little bit. It took him a little bit, but, you know, he said how much of a blessing it was to have people come and see him. You know, people here go to the hospital. I know when Mary was in the hospital, we had many people come see us. And you know, and I mean, it means a lot more than you think. For you to come down there for 5 or 10 minutes, it can really mean the world to people, you know? Now, turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter number 26. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, beloved in the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification in the Spirit and belief of the truth. So right there, even in 2 Thessalonians, and I pretty much found a verse all throughout the New Testament. If I were just to sit up here and read verse after verse after verse, I could. Many times, Paul is thanking God and he's praising God. How many times at the end of the book of, at the book of Romans, or the different books of the Bible, he starts spouting off names of people, just saying like, tell this person hi, and tell this person hi, and tell this person that we're praying for him, and all these different things. And these aren't just names. These are hard to pronounce. These are hard names. I mean, I'm reading through them, and it's a list of pretty challenging names, and he's listing them all. And he's saying that there doesn't go a time where he gets down on his knees and he's praying to God that those people don't get mentioned. It's because he loves those people. It's because he has a love for the brethren. It's because he's a person that's thankful to God that he's met these people. He's thankful to God that they're serving God. He's glad to know that there are people out there that aren't just him, that there are other people out there going through hard times that are serving God, that are being persecuted, that are going out there and they're doing right and they're sticking with the stuff. That's encouraging for him to know that it's not just him fighting the fight. There's other people out there. Now, what are some ways that we can show God that our thankfulness? We already talked about prayer. How many times Paul said, I'm praying for these people. You know, I'm thankful. I cease not to make mention of thee in my prayers. Now, most times in the Bible, when it talks about giving thanks toward God, it always associates thanksgiving with preaching or singing about how good God is. Now, if you're in Psalm chapter number 26, verse 7, it says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wonderful works. So he says, that may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wonderful works. And go to Psalm chapter 107. Verse 22, it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with the song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So the Bible says if we want to be a people, if we want to be a person, you individual, if you want to be somebody that's a thankful person, and you think, okay, I want to be a thankful person. How do I put this into practice? How can I become a thankful person? It starts off with you, with your voice, praising God with song and by declaring how good God is and by declaring what God has done for you. Being thankful and grateful to God, the Bible says, is a good thing that is manifested by telling about the goodness of God. Now, this is the first thing that I thought of, is that's why I think most people and most Christians that don't go soul winning a lot of times are miserable, self-centered people. They go through times and they're depressed and they have hard times all the time. It's because they're not doing anything for anybody else. Now, when you're going out soul winning, all you're doing is you're expressing and you're telling people how good God is and what God's done for you. You start off with the bad news. Tell them how bad hell is and how bad it will be for them to be in eternal damnation. And then you're bringing them the gospel, the good news, and you're explaining to them, look, God, you know, the Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God is somebody that's going to save us. Now turn to Mark chapter number 9. Let me get there myself. Now let's think about this. These churches that are all about love and they're all about, they talk a big talk, but they're not really walking the big walk. Because going out soul winning, and I was thinking about it yesterday, I think about it all the time. These people that, you know, at least around my neighborhood, around yours too, anywhere, there are people that nobody cares about. These Jehovah's Witnesses, if you come to my neighborhood, they bombard our neighborhood. Brother Jimmy and I were out, and there's 15 of them, and they'll all go to one door. And then they walk real slow and they go to another door. Am I joking? No. There's 15 of them and they'll all stand by the street and 4 or 5 or 6 of them will go to the door. And you know, I'm glad for that. I'm glad they're not knocking all the doors. I don't want them to stop doing what they're doing other than to stop completely. But I'll tell you this, is they don't love these people. You know, these churches that go out and all they want is people to come bring them in money. If they really loved people, if they really wanted to see their lives changed, they'd preach them the truth, they'd preach against sin, and they'd preach the gospel to people, and they'd get people saved. Now, you think about the kind of hell that God has saved us from, and you think about if you were really thankful to God that God saved you from hell, then you'd go out and you'd show God and you'd show everybody how thankful to God that you are by going out and preaching the gospel and getting other people saved. I'm happy that I can say I'm a product of door-to-door soul winning. A guy knocked on my door. I didn't know who he was. I talked to him. He preached me the gospel, and I got saved. And then I came to church, and I was magically just transformed from then on out, right? No. You know, I didn't come to church for a long time. So I was one of the people that they would have said, he never really got saved. You know, I'm not really sure if he really even got saved because there was no change in his life. You know, all this other stuff. But you know what? I was saved. I knew the whole time between then and the time I went to church that I was saved because I knew what I believed. I knew God had given me eternal life. I knew it was a gift from God that I only had to receive one time. And you know what? That's prompted me now that when I started going to church, even back then, I thought, if somebody's going to come to my house and preach me the gospel, I need to go out there and return the favor. I need to pay it forward, and I need to go out there, and I'm going to knock as many doors as I possibly can throughout the rest of my life, and I'm going to get as many people saved as I possibly can. Now, this is what God, this is how bad hell is. Now, look in Mark chapter number 9, and look in verse number 43. Let's start there. It says, and if thy, Jesus is talking, says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that is never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt into life, than to have 2 feet and to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus Christ is explaining right there that if you had your feet cut off, your eyes pulled out, and your hands cut off, that's better than being in hell. If you were walking around on earth and you had no hands and no feet and no eyes, and you were just on the side of the road, people would look and they say, that's terrible. I could never imagine even being like that. What a horrible life that guy has. Jesus Christ said it's better for that guy to be like that here on earth than for you to have all your feet, all your hands, and all your eyes and be thrown in hell. Yep. Now, can you imagine if somebody saved you in a terrible accident where he saved you from getting your feet cut off, or saved you from getting your hands or your arm cut off, or saved you from being blinded, how grateful and how thankful he'd be to you. You'd be to that person, and you'd want to repay them. And you know, man, if there's anything I could do for you, I'll do this for you, because you saved my whole livelihood. I have feet now. I wasn't going to have feet. Now, the Bible says that guy with no feet, it's not as bad than being thrown in hell. And all of us at some point, we're on our way to that place. If we want to show God that we're thankful for saving us, and we want to show, even if you don't remember who the person was that led you to Christ, if you wanted to show them how thankful you were, there'll be a day, I believe this, if you don't remember who it was that led you to Christ, there'll be a day when you'll meet that person in heaven. I believe that. Amen. I believe you're going to see that guy. Right. And to show him how thankful you are that he went there and he took the time and he got you saved. Now, I am extremely grateful that somebody came to my house and knocked on my door, and I didn't really live in a very nice area. He knocked on my door, and I'm glad that somebody knocked on my door, and I am very grateful that he got me saved. I'm going to show that I'm grateful by going out and knocking on other people's doors and doing my best to clearly give them an opportunity where they can choose to believe in Jesus Christ or reject the gospel. But I don't want the people around me to die not having heard. I want to be free from at least the blood of those men, as many men as possible. Now, if you're in your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 20. Now, when we go soul winning, all we're doing is we're just explaining to people, what God has done for us with salvation. You know, we're explaining to them, look, this is, and I even tell people this at the very end, when I'm just getting ready to, I explain everything to them. I've asked them if there's any questions. Do you have any questions? Are you fuzzy about anything? They say, no, I clearly understand. I want to ask God to save me. I said, all right, well, 12 years ago, whatever, a guy came to my door and he showed me the same thing I'm showing you. And he asked me some questions. I'm going to ask you the same thing. And all I'm doing is telling them, look, this happened to me and now it's happening to you. And you know what? I'm hoping that these people will be thankful. I'm hoping they'll be grateful to God. I'm hoping that when I'm preaching the gospel, I'm explaining in such a way that they not only just get saved, but that they're also very thankful for it and that they're grateful for it. So maybe it'll prompt them in their life to want to do more for God than just be saved. Now, when you go out soul winning and when you go out preaching and when you're a joyful person, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is joy. One of them is peace. Now, I've seen somebody on Facebook, they posted that being happy is not a choice. It's not a choice that you have. Some people have, all these different problems in life to where they can't even choose to be happy. And what a bunch of baloney. The Bible says that joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And you have the choice every single day whether you're going to walk in the Spirit or whether you're going to walk in the flesh. That's just a cop-out. for people to just be negative in a bad attitude and just to, you know, just be, you know, down in the mouth about everything and never take responsibility for their own things and always put and pass off responsibility of why they feel like their life is so miserable on other people. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, when you're a joyful person, I've noticed this, people that are not walking in the Spirit, people that are walking in the flesh, they're going to be irritated. And I think this, the spiritual man is an irritation to the fleshly man. Right. The Christian that's not walking in the Spirit, and I notice even in my own life, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in the flesh, and I see somebody and they, you know, they're looking all happy, and you know, it's something in me I have to fight and say, you know, well, oh man, what's wrong with me? You know, this person that is there's annoying me, you know, you look at them, you know what I mean? But God, you know, when you go out soul winning and do that, people are gonna hate on you and people are gonna do that. Now look in Jeremiah chapter number 20, verse number 7. Says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He was walking in the Spirit so hard that when he even felt like giving up in God, the Bible says that the Word of God was in his heart like a burning fire. He didn't even have, if he almost felt like he had no option but to go out and preach the gospel. He had no option but to go out and preach the truths of God's Word. Even though they say they're in derision, they're making fun of him every single day. They were mocking him all the time. I mean, Jeremiah went through some serious turmoil and serious trouble. And he just stuck with the stuff. And the reason why is because I believe he was a guy that just walked in the Spirit of God all the time. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jeremiah. And even when he didn't feel like preaching, he still preached. Even when he felt like, you know, maybe even being joyful, you know what? He still cried out. He still did what was right. Now, turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Actually, you know what? Go to Psalm chapter number 40. I'll just end with this. You know, why did I pick preaching about being thankful? You know, with the circumstances in the last couple weeks with people that we've known, you know, I think my appreciation for our fellow church members and my appreciation for you guys has just gone through the roof. I've prayed more for you guys than I have the whole time I've been here. And I'm not saying that to boast, but I'm saying this. Life is but a vapor. We could all be gone tomorrow. You know, how are you gonna feel if somebody in our church, something bad, what about Brother Logan if he would have died? How many people in here would say, I don't even know who that guy is? But the guy's been coming here for a year. You know, shame on us, right? We have a church member, a brother in Christ. And we don't even know who that guy is. We can't even picture him because we don't take the effort to go out and meet the people because we're not thankful to the people that come here and we don't want to get to know them and find out who they are. Oh, they're just a Sunday morning only person. Who cares? You know, get to know these people. Maybe they won't be a Sunday morning only person. Maybe the guy lives an hour away and he drives an hour to get here every week. Yeah. That's what it is. Now, I appreciate because being ungrateful and unthankful just affects so many other areas of your life. It's a sin, and all sin is like leaven. And it can just affect, it makes you just have a bad attitude. It could just make you have a bad spirit, and it's not good. It could just completely affect all the other areas of your life. Now, you're in Psalm chapter 40. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Quench not the Spirit." So how are we going to live in the will of God? We're going to be a thankful person. Now, it says in Psalm 40, verse 10, "I have not hid thy righteousness within mine heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." So he's saying right there, look, I have not hid God's righteousness. I'm not trying to quench the Spirit. I'm not trying to hide how good God's been. If it makes people irritated, if it makes them mad, then so be it. They can go and, you know, have a pity party all by themselves. But he said, I'm not going to conceal his loving kindness and his truth from the great congregation, from the other people in the church. So let's think about that. Let's go home and let's Let's make a decision. We're going to be more thankful for the people. Let's pray for the people. Just like Paul was praying for people that he probably hadn't seen in years that he might never see again. He's praying for them by name. How much more should we do it for the people that we're going to for sure see next week? And we're going to see unless something, some terrible circumstance happens. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your salvation, Lord. And thank you for your word. And Lord, I'm just so